Father, we thank you for the privilege to come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Together around that name that's above every name. The name of our Lord and of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the great, mighty Holy Spirit whom thou hast sent to be our teacher. And we trust him to unveil, to unfold, to reveal the Word of God unto our hearts and unto our spirits. May each one of us not just be hearers of the word only, but may we be doers thereof. Hallelujah. Acting upon the word. Putting God's word into practice. For it's then that we become recipients of all that you provided and promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to the 4th chapter of Proverbs. And then to the 3rd chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. First of all, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and health. My words are health to all their flesh. The margin says that the Hebrew says, my words are medicine to all your flesh. God said, my words are medicine to all your flesh. Now notice this particular statement. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. The Bible contains God's word or God's sayings. So incline your ear to my sayings. Hallelujah. For they are life unto those that find them. And they are health to all their flesh. So it will certainly pay rich dividends to incline your ears unto his sayings. Amen. Now, let's look into the Acts of the Apostles and see what the Word of God said there relative to healing. Well, we see in the very third chapter here, this is the first healing that took place in the Acts of the Apostles. The lame man at the gate called Beautiful, this man was lame from his mother's womb, it said, carried whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. In other words, he's sitting there begging. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto him, or them, expecting to receive. You know, after all, you're never going to get anything from God if you don't expect to receive. Amen? Expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Well, we know he didn't have any silver and gold because he just got through saying that he didn't. What does he have that will benefit this man then? Because he's begging. Well, he's got the name of Jesus. In the name, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked. And entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Now skip down to the 16th verse. And his name, how was the man made to walk? How was he healed? And his name, that's Jesus' name, through faith in his name. That's a problem today. People don't have too much faith in his name, so it won't work. Through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Hallelujah. Well, immediately that refutes the idea that healing for the physical body doesn't belong to us today, or it's been done away with. Because if faith in his name brought healing then faith in his name would bring healing now, or else his name's been done away with. But thank God the name of Jesus has not been done away with any more than Jesus has been done away with. Amen? So that man was healed through faith in his name. Praise God. Well, let's skip on over into the Acts of the Apostles. And remember our main thought here, our main theme for this series is, incline your ear unto my sayings. That's incline your ear to God's word. Amen? And that's what we're doing. We're inclining our ears unto God's sayings. And right at the moment, we've looked here for some time in the past lessons at some things Jesus said, the Word of God said in the Gospels. And so let's look into the Acts. Then when we get through with that, well, let's look into the epistles. Hallelujah. And see what he said about healing. All right. The next thing that we have after the healing of this man in the third chapter, anything about healing, is in the fifth chapter of the Acts. Now, we'll back up to the 12th verse and begin to read. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, there's no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, evidently by Peter's shadow falling off on every one. Now here you see, you find this first healing that took place in the third chapter of Acts. The man at the gate called Beautiful was healed because or by faith in the name of Jesus. You see, these people healed here by manifestation of God's power or spirit. You see, among the gifts of healings, among the spiritual gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, one of them is gifts of healings. Now you'll notice also that there's working of miracles mentioned there. And then special faith, which is a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Now by reading in the Old Testament, you see, for instance, the working of miracles worked. For instance, the Word of God also tells us that there are diversities of operations. Diversity, so this is a different operation here, the shadow. Moses worked a miracle, that is, a Red Sea divided by when he stretched forth his rod. Later on in the Old Testament, we see that Elijah divided Jordan's river by smiting the water with his mantle. His mantle is the outer coat or cloak that he wore. Well, you see, you got the same kind of a miracle, the dividing of waters, but one was done by a rod, the other by a cloak. And so you see that sometimes there are diversities of manifestations or operations, in other words, as 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter also tells us, there are diversities of operations. Here, God's healing power was made manifest through the shadow of Peter. Now, incidentally, you need to think on this, that many times there is an operation, a different operation, of God's power that's never manifested again. There is no record in the Bible of that ever happening again. Now, you read about Peter's ministry. You read about him as you go on through the Acts, but you never read again where his shadow fell on anybody and healed him. You'd have to add to the Bible to say that it did happen. Sometimes God will do something on one occasion at one time a certain way and may never do that again. That proves another thing, that it's not you doing it. Because if it's you doing it, you could do it again. And would probably do it again. But it is as the Spirit wills. Now, I might mention the fact that 1950, I was a preacher here in the state of Oklahoma. We lived in Texas, born and raised there, and we just hold a meeting over here. And so just as I came to the close of my service one night, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, because I'd given an invitation for the lost first to come and send them to the prayer room. The Spirit of God said to me, before you ever give the altar call, minister to those who have anything wrong with them from their hips down. Well, he had never said that to me before in all the time I'd been ministering. But he said, so I just spoke that out, you know, that the Lord said this. And, you know, this is a church meeting. In a church auditorium, not a real large auditorium, but a nice sized crowd. Well, there were a dozen people came. And as they came, you know, I suppose by what he said that he meant for me to lay hands on them and minister to them. But as they were coming, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, don't lay hands on one of them. Don't pray for one of them. But deal with each one of them individually. In other words, sometimes the Lord may tell you to minister to people collectively, all at once. But take them one at a time, you see, and tell them that I told you to tell them to run down that aisle and run back up this aisle and they'll be healed. Well, in the first place, we've got people there out of these dozen people, we've got people there that couldn't get down there by themselves. Three people virtually carried them down there. We got people standing there on crutches. Did you ever see anybody run on crutches? We got people there that's all bound up. I mean, a number of people. I just simply began to deal with them on a one-to-one basis, dealt with the first man, and he couldn't lift his feet off the floor, just scooted. And I said, can you run? He said, oh my God, no, I can't even walk, much less run. Well, I said, the Lord told me to tell you to run down that aisle, back up this aisle, you'll be healed. You know, that fellow never questioned that a minute. I mean, he turned around, never picked his feet up, but I never saw anybody scoot in my life as fast as he scooted. He scooted down that aisle, back up this aisle, nothing happened. I said, do it again. He scooted down that aisle, back down this aisle. When he came around the second time, the Spirit of God came. I didn't know I was going to do it. I mean, just as big a surprise to me as it was anybody. I didn't even realize what I'd done until I was running down. Now, I leaped off the platform evidently, took him by the arm, because when I realized what I was doing, I was running down the aisle, holding on to his arm. When we came back up this other aisle, he was walking, running just as good as I was, completely healed. Now, he's the only one that I ran with, but the first 11 out of the 12, every one of them was instantly healed right in front of everybody. I mean, three people helped one person get started here. One of them, three people, one on either side and one behind, holding them up. They couldn't even stand up, but holding them up. And they helped them get started, and suddenly the power of God came on, and they run right out of their arms. and around they went. Praise God. Amen? Well, now you see, that was a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. I don't do that ever. In fact, I never did that again. The Holy Ghost never said that to me again. The closest thing we had to it was 84 in Philadelphia. We had something very similar, and you never saw so many people that got healed. Except that instead of telling them to run, the Spirit of God told them to dance. And they just started dancing. So, I went along, I know it. Really, I never have had anything just exactly like it. That other, like I said, was very similar. Not the same. Not exactly the same, but right close to it. Well, I don't know whether that'll ever happen again or not. I mean, you know, it wouldn't help anything for me just to say it if the Holy Ghost, if the anointing's not in it. It's when you operate under the anointing. Because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Yet, right on the other hand, and you see, the same thing can happen to people. Because I've seen people who couldn't walk one step, hadn't walked a step for years. Doctor said they never will walk again. I didn't have any anointing to minister to them at all. Holy Ghost never said anything to me. There's no anointing upon me. You know, in manifestation I'm talking about. The anointing potential is there all the time. Any office that God called you to, the office, the anointing potentially is there, but not manifestation. But I never, no manifestation of anointing. But I just simply read the Word of God to them. And I've seen crippled folks that couldn't walk. Doctor said they'll never walk another step as long as they do. Just get up and walk off instantly. So thank God for the manifestations of the Holy Ghost that may happen, like the shadow of Peter. Amen. Or may not. I don't know. One thing about it, Peter seems to be the only one the Lord used that way. The other apostles, no doubt, got folks healed because we read out here by the hands of the apostles. That's all of them. Were many signs and wonders, doesn't it say? But evidently, this was just simply a special thing as the Holy Ghost manifests himself as he wills. Praise God. However, we need to see a connecting truth here. That's the fifth chapter of Acts. Go back to the fourth chapter of Acts. Now you know, we were in the third chapter of Acts about this lame man at the gate called Beautiful that was healed. You know then that Peter and John were arrested and brought before the council. And you know, that's a religious people. See, religious people don't like for folks to get healed. I mean, they'll cling to their religious beliefs. Amen, no matter what happens. Now, you read here in this fourth chapter, and you'll find that they were threatened. Now notice that 18th verse, for instance. And they called them, that is the council, called Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. You see, he told them the same thing that he preached there in the temple where the man was healed when that crowd came together. He began to preach Jesus unto them and said, in his name, through faith in his name, has given this man perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And then when he got him before the Sanhedrin, before the council, why, he began to tell them the same thing about Jesus. And so they said, now notice, not to speak at all, nor teach. No, if you stop there, that's not what they said. In the name of Jesus. Don't do it in the name of Jesus. Didn't tell them not to teach or not to speak. Makes all the difference in the world when you teach and you speak in the name of Jesus. A lot of people are teaching and speaking, but they're not doing it in the name of Jesus. So, they commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Now begin reading with that 23rd verse. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported, went into their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. In other words, they reported it and rehearsed it to them, told them what they said. And when they heard that is the company, they, plural, you see, the company of believers and people, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. I mean, everybody prayed. There's something about united prayer that's powerful. There's something about just getting people of God in unity and lifting their voice with one accord to God. Now, I'm sure of one thing. It says they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. Now, I'm sure everybody didn't listen to what the other fellow said and just say the same thing word for word. But I'm sure of this, that what the Holy Ghost through Dr. Luke is doing here is recording to us how it sounded to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. They were in one accord in their praying. And this, in other words, is the essence of their prayer. In other words, when you sum it up, you know, you can say the same thing in different words, but when you analyze it and sum it up, this is what they were saying. There's a good model here to go by. First, they did not begin to talk about their problem. They didn't put their problem first. Did you get that?
Yes.
Now, if you'll read this, you'll see they didn't even mention their problem till last. I think after reading, a lot of folks, you see, don't get any results because they've got their mind all on their problems and the difficulties and the circumstances, and that's all they talk about. What's the first thing they talked about? Lord, thou art God. Amen. Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is. In other words, you're the great creator. You're the Almighty God. You're the All-Sufficient One. Praise God. I tell you, when you begin to think about Him and how big He is and how great He is, a lot of these problems just simply disintegrate and disappear. Or at least they get smaller. Amen. Don't amount to much. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatening. See, now they finally got down to the problem. But notice, before they ever got down to talking about the problem they're facing, that they first talked about God and who He is and how big He is and what all He's done. Lord, thou art God, which hath created all things. Then secondly, notice what they did. And it'll help you in your praying if you'll just follow along. Secondly, they prayed scripture. In their prayer, they began to say, what you said by thy servant David, what the scripture said. The only Bible they had, of course, up till now is the Old Testament. They began to pray scripture. Did you ever think about praying scripture?
Yes.
Amen. It'll really bless you, if you will, if you get onto that. I mean, in that scripture, here's the early church at prayer. Why not follow their example? I'll tell you, they got results. Now then, they finally got down here to the problem. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Hallelujah. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done. How? By the name. There we get right back to the name again. Seemed that name was mixed in with everything they did. They made more about that name, it seems, than what we do. Amen. That by the name, signs and wonders, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done. How? By the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Now, the immediate results of their praying was, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. The place was shaken. That means the house shook. Dear Lord, a lot of folks get disturbed because sometimes the power of God comes on people and they shake or even fall in the floor. You wait till the building starts shaking. They'll think an earthquake's coming. The place was shaken. It wasn't an earthquake. It was the power of God manifestation. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I thought this same bunch just got filled with the Holy Ghost back over there in the second chapter of Acts. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak the other tongue. The Spirit of God gave them utterance. Thank God you can continue to be filled. Again and again and again, and you need that. Too many people you see are pointing back to something. Well, now I got filled back yonder, and they're living on stale manner. We need an up-to-date experience. What about right now? Yeah. Glory to God. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Their prayers answered. First thing they asked is that thy servants may speak thy word with boldness. The immediate result was that thy place, the house where they were assembled, was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. And then secondly, they prayed, you remember, that signs and wonders would be done. The 12th verse of the 5th chapter is an answer to that prayer. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. They prayed that thy service may speak thy word with boldness by stretching forth your hand to heal. We read insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets. That's the answer to their prayer. Into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Another interesting thought is that these folks, even who had unclean spirits, they didn't cast them out. When Peter's shadow fell on them, they were healed. They just left them. You don't have to deal with spirits one way. Some people think, well, you've always got to cast them out. No, you don't always have to cast them out. Are you listening to me? You just do if God says so. Amen. But the power of God's greater than the power of the devil. Peter's shadow falling on those folks, the unclean spirits left them. Because it said, they that were sick, and they with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Amen. I said, amen.
Amen.
And so, that's the answer to their prayer. That came, you see, that didn't come just because God, in His divine sovereignty, saw fit to do something here. That came as a result of their prayer. That's exactly what they prayed for, wasn't it? Wasn't it? That came as an answer to their prayer. Now, you see, we need to see something here. Folks have imagined that folks received gifts of the Spirit individually, and then that's yours, and you can do what you want to with it. Well, no, that doesn't work like that. Because if it worked like that, they could have prayed. Now, Lord, you continue to use Peter and John, and may these gifts continue to be made manifest. No. It's manifested as the Spirit will, so they prayed that God would continue to do these things. I remember in a healing revival here in America, began 1947 and it ran through 1958. And I've been in the healing ministry ever since 1934. So in 1947, I'd been in the healing ministry 13 years. I got people healed in some parts of the country where I was when no one else did. I went to churches during World War II, 1943, 44. And 45, and pastors would tell me, nobody's been saved or healed or filled with the Spirit in this church in 3 years. But in all my meetings, I'd have a laying on hand service every Tuesday and every Friday night. Praise God and get people saved and healed, filled with the Spirit. God's the same all the time. He don't ever change. Now, a lot of things hinders him sometimes, but he don't ever change. If you'll get in cooperation with him, work with him, well, he'll work with you. And so, but I became concerned. I was pastor in the winter of 42 and 43. I said 43 a while ago, and then I changed to 44 and 45 when I was on the field. And I don't know why. It wasn't something that I thought up. It wasn't something that I decided that I'm going to do. It was something that I was led to do. I had a burden, as we call it, to pray, because in our churches, so many times, I was pastor of Full Gospel Church down in East Texas, just, 20-some-odd-year-old boy, 24 years old. And we about all we ever had in manifestation, or any other church I went to or visited, I never saw any manifestation except in the past in my own ministry I'd seen it. Any manifestation anywhere else where I was ministering at least, except tongues and interpretation. Well, I knew God wanted all the gifts of the Spirit, not just tongues and interpretation. I knew tongues and interpretation would be more widely distributed and used because they're distinctive of this dispensation. And so I got concerned and burdened about it, and I began to pray that the gifts that we call gifts of power, those gifts of the Spirit that's listed in the 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians, there's three gifts of revelation, three gifts that reveal something, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. There are three gifts that do something. We call them power gifts sometimes, special faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings. There are three gifts that say something. We call them vocal gifts sometimes, prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And so I began to pray that that the power gifts, as we call them, very commonly are called, would be more in manifestation. Did you ever stop to think about it? When you analyze this prayer here, they didn't know that they've got the Holy Ghost. And of course, the Holy Ghost is a teacher. But they didn't have a New Testament to read. See, we have a New Testament to read. They just knew that they had received the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. And they knew that the place where they were assembled was shaken. They all filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke the word with boldness. They didn't know the various ways that the Holy Ghost manifested itself. But that's exactly what they were praying for when they prayed, "Grant that thy servant shall speak thy word, with boldness. And by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and the signs and wonders will be wrought in the name of thy holy child Jesus." Well, that's healings and miracles. Glory to God. And so I began to pray because, see, I could be more explicit about it because I had the New Testament then to read, and for the revelation that the Spirit of God had brought. So I became so burdened about this that I would, I guess I must have gotten up in my sleep. Because when I woke up, I was in the living room because we didn't have central heat. We had gas stoves in the different rooms. And we'd leave a gas stove on, a little flame, just a little warmth, in the living room. None in the bedroom. It's cooler and warmer. Cooler and easier to sleep, so on. And so I would very often, I've always done a lot of my praying in the nighttime. Used to do a whole lot more praying in the nighttime than I do now. Though I do a lot of praying in the nighttime yet. But a lot of times I'd get up because if you're very sleepy, you may pray and go back to sleep. And so a lot of times if I had a lot of times I'd do my praying just real quietly there. But a lot of times, I'd put it this way, sometimes I'd get up and go to, sometimes if it wasn't real cold weather I just kneel by the bed in my bedroom, see. But if it's real cold, you get out under the cover and kneel there, you get cold on a cold floor. And so I'd go to the living room because it's warm in there and kneel by the couch and pray. And this is the main thing I'm praying about. So then I got in the habit of doing that, and so evidently, I must have got up in my sleep and went in there because when I came to, when I woke up, in other words, I was kneeling there praying. I don't remember more than once. I don't ever remember going there. And I just found myself over and over again, over and over again, over and over again. Now, you see, there are some things that are personal, that are individual, that belong to you, that you claim by praying the prayer of faith. See, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe you'll receive them, you'll have them. You know, you can receive right now. There are other things you have to seek God for and continue to pray about over a period of time. Now, you need to realize that. I think a lot of times the impression is left in our charismatic circle sometimes and among what we call so-called faith people that, you know, the prayer of faith just always works everywhere. Well, if that did, you wouldn't need any other kind of praying. And yet the Word of God teaches us that there's more than one kind of praying. Amen? Amen. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer. See, if there's just one kind of prayer, he'd have said praying always with prayer. And everybody understood it's just one kind. Another translation said praying always with all manner of prayer. Another translation said praying always with all kinds of prayer. Well, you see, the prayer of faith is only one kind of prayer, and it'll work where it's supposed to, but it won't work where it's not supposed to. And by the same token, other kinds of praying, like intercession, and that's what I was really doing, was interceding in this area here, will not work where the prayer of faith's supposed to work. You can't put one and make it work for the other one, because it won't do it. And so I found myself, just night after night, I don't mean just over a matter of maybe a 10-day period, I mean over a matter of several months, 3 or 4 months period. Every night. And I'd come to myself, like I said, I must have got up in my sleep and went down to the living room, because when I woke up, I was kneeling by the couch, praying. You said, well, could you pray in your sleep? Well, I'm sure you could. I mean, your spirit don't sleep. Can you pray when you're unconscious? Physically unconscious? In a coma? Unconscious? Can you? Sure you can. I don't know whether you've been there or not. I have. I was born again on the 22nd day of April, 1933, at 20 minutes to 8 o'clock in the south bedroom of 405 North Conner Street, City of McKinney, Texas. And so I'm born again, child of God, but I'm bedfast. That's April the 22nd, 1933. Now, the summer of 1933, I can't remember much about that summer, naturally speaking. I can tell you what happened on the 4th of July, 1933. I can tell you what happened on the 16th day of August, 1:30 in the afternoon, 1933. 16th day of August, 1933 was on a Thursday. I can tell you what happened then. Other than those two incidents, I can't tell you too much. I'd have to think real hard. I can think of one more incident that happened. Because out of those 3 months, June, July, and August, 13 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 3-week period, I was in a coma or unconscious. 3 times, 2-week periods. So that's 9 weeks out of the 13 that I was unconscious or in a coma. So I couldn't tell you much. But I remember this, though I can't communicate with people. A lot of times I'd pick up in my spirit. I didn't hear them with these ears, but what people around me were saying, around the bed were saying. That's the reason it's real difficult. You better be careful about talking around people that's unconscious and say the wrong thing. I made mention of some things along that line. I got a letter since a lady spoke to me up in Philadelphia, and we had our meeting there. She said, and she went into detail to explain, I told you about, I believe it was her mother-in-law, that was in a coma, and she didn't, before we had talked to her, now she's a Christian, all right, but she didn't know about your message, and she wouldn't listen, that I wouldn't listen to it. But now then she's lapsed into unconsciousness, and the way I understand it, the doctors just give up on her, she's not going to live. And they just read that little old booklet, In Him. And it got through to her spirit while she's unconscious. And she came up out of consciousness and was healed. Out of unconsciousness and was healed. Was healed. Praise God. She had got through to her spirit. There's another medical doctor tells this story. One of our medical doctors right here in the United States. And his wife had, I don't know what all was wrong with her, though I did read it, but I'm not, he explained it more in medical terms, and I don't understand medical terms. If he'd explained it in layman's terms, I might have understood it better. But she'd become unconscious, and other doctors were treating her, and they just gave up on her. She's going to die. And he just took tapes. And back there then, when this happened, before we got these cassettes, we had these reel-to-reel, and played that 24 hours a day by her bed, this medical doctor. And he knows, because he's a doctor. And his colleagues have told him, see, because he knows also, that there's just no hope for her. I mean, that's it. But that word got into her spirit. And she was unconscious for 30 days, but he, every day, I mean 24 hours a day, he had to go to his practice. But he'd have the nurse and the maid in the home to keep these tapes going. And she began to show signs of improvement after 30 days. And then finally one day just woke up and was all right. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot more to some of these things than what we've realized and really gotten into. Amen. And see, medical doctors have come to realize that. Now, when I was unconscious there the summer of 1933, 9 weeks out of 13, I'd pick up what people were saying around me in here. I knew it in here. I never did hear it here, but I knew it in here. Now, not everything they said. But then, not only that, but I can remember that my spirit was constantly talking to God. You see, God's a spirit. I'm a spirit. Now, my spirit couldn't go through my physical apparatus to talk to God because I'm unconscious. See? But my spirit's not unconscious. And my spirit was talking to God. Well, could you talk to God in your sleep? I suppose you could. Amen. I know of people that have been seeking to be filled with the Spirit. In fact, I was just reading about one here the other day. Well, I said the other day, yesterday. And they had been seeking God now and praying and didn't know really too much about the baptism, didn't know to go speak in tongues. But they woke up out of sleep talking in tongues. And they said, I remembered, I dreamed I was talking in tongues. When I woke up, I was speaking with other tongues. And then this lady, this was a lady, and her husband was sort of against this, you see. He was saved all right, but he was he didn't know about it, this tongue business and all that. And so she just said to the Lord very secretly and privately, because she didn't want to, you know, get up in a division and arouse opposition from him, even though he's in the ministry himself. And so she said, well, now, Lord, if that worked for me, that could work for him. I know he doesn't understand in his head, but I know his heart's open to you. So I woke up speaking other tongues. Praise God. Amen. The only thing to convince him. And he had almost, see, he don't know because she didn't tell him. So it couldn't be psychological. She never suggested anything to him. He had almost identical experience. Woke up talking in other tongues. Glory to God. Amen. Someone said, well, I wish I could get it that way. God may not want you to get it that way. You may know more. You may have to go a different direction. But I'll tell you one thing about it. Just stay open to God. Stay open to God. Stay open to the Holy Ghost. And be honest and sincere with Him. Even though you may be wrong in your head, with Him be honest and sincere. Amen. So, in the night, I must evidently was praying in my sleep because when I woke up, I was praying right in the middle of my prayer. You know, and that's what I was praying about. Night after night. That there would be a manifestation of these gifts. In manifestation. A greater measure of manifestation. Special faith. Gifts of healings. Working of miracles would be in manifestation. Now, I think we missed something here, and we're inclining the ears to God saying, and this is in relation to healing, but I want you to turn over. I think we miss it sometime. Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to see something here now. In this 12th chapter, he said, now there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. Fourth verse. And there are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, we might add, by the same Spirit, to another discerning of spirits, and we might add, by the same Spirit, to another divers kinds of tongues, by the same Spirit, in other words, to another interpretation of tongues, by the same Spirit, in other words. But all of these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. Not dividing the gift, the gifts belong to the church. Dividing the manifestation of the gifts to every man severally as he wills. Now, Paul did not write, as you well know, a letter to the Corinthian church in chapter and verses many, many years later. You know, helps us in referencing. So, when we come to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he's still talking about the same thing he's talking about over there in the 12th. Uh-huh. How do you know it? Well, follow after charity, or that's the Greek word agape, love. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. So he's still talking about it. Desire spiritual gifts. Now, that's what he said to begin the chapter. Notice what he says at the end of the chapter. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. So, in other words, he said to desire spiritual gifts, and in one sense of the word, he said to covet. Now, too many times we've, and though there is a sense in which it is personal, you understand that, but we've taken this, you know, personally. I remember in times past in holding meeting, we called it church meetings, and you'd go to one church and have nearly all of these manifestations, or gifts of the Spirit, manifested through you as the Spirit wills. You'd go to another church, not have any of them. Maybe very limitedly tongues with interpretation, and that on a low level. And I got to wondering about that, you know, and then I got to praying, see? And in these places where you'd have no manifestation, wonderful people, pastors are wonderful men of God, love God with all their heart. And I do three times as much praying, twice as much fasting as I ever did, and nothing happened. Then you'd hit another church, you'd finally just give up on it as a bad job. You'd go to another church then and do, you know, no fasting at all and very little praying. Now, when I say that, I need to qualify that. I'm talking about praying for the meeting. I pray all the time, you know, and stay in fellowship with God. But I mean just any protracted, set-aside praying other than just praying over your message, you see. And you just have such a manifestation, nearly all of them. Nearly all of these gifts would be manifested to you. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discern the spirits, special faith, gifts of healings, prophecy, tongues of the interpreter. Nearly all, 7 out of 9, sometimes 8 out of 9 of them would be manifested through you. Sometime during, at least once, or sometime during the meeting. And you'd just rejoice, say, well, praise God, I guess I'm sort of back online now, some way, you know. And then you go to the next place and had none of them. And so you started praying, and done three times as much praying, twice as much fasting, and nothing. And why has it worked that way? Well, in the process of time, I began to seek God about that, and the Lord told me. Something about the Holy Ghost is a perfect gentleman. He just won't interrupt you, and he won't tell you anything unless you ask him. He won't butt into your conversation. And if you're just going to do all the talking, he'll just let you talk, not tell you anything. But if you'll learn to talk and listen, praise God, amen, he'll talk to you because he dwells in you. And so one thing is he had my thinking hindered me from seeing it, my wrong thinking. He said to me, Paul did not write a letter to John Smith in the church at Corinth and said, John, you desire spiritual gifts. Though in a general sense that's so, but specifically it's not so. He didn't write to Susie Jones in the church at Corinth and said, you desire spiritual gifts. He's talking about the church desiring them. He's talking about as a body of believers, you desire these things. And if you'll desire them, because they belong to the church anyway, and if you'll desire the manifestation of them, then the Holy Ghost will manifest or divide the manifestation of them to different members as the Spirit wills. But if you don't desire them, he won't do it. He's a perfect gentleman. He'll just sit down and sit there and do nothing, though he's there in every service, because you don't recognize him and didn't invite him to do anything. Now, not you as individual. He'll bless you, but the body. Desire. Can you see what I'm talking about? And that's why those folks, they either didn't desire him because they don't know, most of the time, they just don't know about it. They come under the category of what he said here, that very first verse, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. They were ignorant, you see, concerning it. See, and one place where we're ignorant is that folks, and that is ignorance, they just think, well, now God's sovereign. He's a sovereign being, you know, and he's almighty. And if he wants to do it, he'll do it. And if he don't, he won't. Well, really, that is ignorance gone to seed to make a statement like that. Amen. I said amen. For the simple reason, friends, that God is only sovereign and only king and Lord in your life or in the church or anywhere else to the extent that we allow him to be. He don't push anything off on anybody. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come unto repentance. Well, if he's not, why don't he, if he's almighty and all-powerful and all-sovereign, why don't he just make everybody get saved today and we go into the millennium tomorrow? Because he don't work that way. He leaves it up to the will of man. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will. If any man will. Open the door of his heart. You don't lose your free moral agency just because you're born again. If any church will, he'll cooperate with them. But if they won't, he won't. Amen? You need to realize that and know that. And so then, is it scriptural to pray? Well, if it was scriptural for these folks to pray that way, it's scriptural for us to pray that way. And so I kept praying that way. Until on the 19th day of February, I'd been praying that way for 3 or 4 months, the 19th day of February, 1943, now think about that, 1943, in my study, not in the nighttime when I was praying, but in my church study. My church was next door to the parsonage, and I had a little room up beside the platform that was pastor's study. And there at my desk, actually, I had spent 5 hours and 45 minutes praying in other tongues that day. And at that 5 hour and 45 minute period, now I didn't say I spent 5 hours and 45 minutes solidly. Because after maybe an hour, I might have went to the parsonage, got me a drink of water. Or move around a little bit, get a little fresh air, go outside and walk around the church. Come back in, kneel down, pray another hour, see? But through the daytime, starting in the morning time, this is later in the afternoon, see, and so there's more hours than that, but I'd put in 5 hours because I timed it. 45 minutes praying in other tongues. And the Spirit of God said to me just as plainly as somebody standing in the room, I got my pencil and pen or paper and wrote it down. Because see, that's what I'm praying for now. 43. I'm praying for a manifestation of special faith, working of miracles and gifts of healings. And I wrote it down, still have the piece of paper I wrote it on, 1943. Here's what he said. At the end of World War Number 2, there will come a revival of divine healing to America. Well, if there's a revival of divine healing, then there has to be a revival of these manifestations, because that's the way the Holy Ghost works. Amen? It started in 47. That revival started. See, it's 4 years later. It started in 47. The war is over in 45. The revival started. Now, there was just a real wave of revival on. Easiest thing in the world, get people healed. Now, we get people healed today, but I'll be honest with you. We create a climate that God can work in, but it was more of a widespread thing then. I had people to tell me. Now, I remember one lady, Evander, she and her husband both, she was the real preacher. He played the piano and sang. Both of them sang, but mainly him. And he'd preach some, but she was a real evangelist. She just had that fire burning. And she said, brother, to me and my wife and some of us talking, she said, brother, Satagan, I'd been, and she's older, she's in her 60s. She said, we'd been on evangelistic field 37 years. We never had a healing service. I never prayed for that. Just didn't seem to be my ministry. I really think she's more of an exhorter than she was an evangelist. But she got people saved. Praise God. They'd sing, you know, and she'd preach. People get saved. They got people saved, got them filled with the Spirit. Go from church to church, have a lot of good revivals. Never did. Never did. Never did have a healing service. Never had a laying on hand service. Never mentioned healing. But said when this revival got to going, I decided, just I did, you know, because it's just a real wave here, that I'd at least once a week, I'd have a healing service and a laying on a hand service. Of course, she knew what the scripture said on the subject. And so she said, you know, it couldn't have been my faith. Said to my utter astonishment, one of the first ones that got healed under my ministry was a blind person. I laid my hands on them and they began to see. He's healed instantly. Well, she said, I said, that's easy. I believe I'll try that again. Glory to God. Amen. And any number of folks told me, I mean, evangelists and folks on the field, that just sort of mediocre, you know, you never heard of them, didn't have much of a ministry at all. Said, man, I began to pray and see, he's the seeing the world. There's just a, it was just in the air. You know what I mean? Now that didn't come because God, you know, in his great sovereignty and almightiness, omnipotent and omnipresent, the great God, just looked over the balusters of heaven and said, well, I just feel disposed to start a move here. No, it came because back there, you see, you don't always get the answer to your prayer immediately. They seem to there, but it didn't always come. I was praying there in the winter of 42 and 43, and in February of 43, the Lord said to me, there'll come a revival of divine healing to America at the close of World War Number 2. Well, I quit praying for that then. From then on, I've thought of it. Thank God for it. Praise God. Amen. There comes a time to quit praying and start praising God. See, you can see that over there in Philippians. Look at Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. No use to be open. I'll quote it. You read it. Now notice what it said. Be careful for nothing. That's a little bit blind to us. We don't always get that. King James trying to say, be careful for nothing. And as Amplified has, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Well, then you're out of order and unscriptural when you're all full of anxiety and fretting, aren't you? And that's the reason it don't work for you. Because, see, you got to take the first step. You can't just jump over the first step and get to the second one. If you want to get to where God wants you to, won't you? Praise God, he tells you the steps to take. But you have to take the step. You can't jump over it. First, don't fret or have any anxiety about anything. Do not fret. Do not fret. But what if I told you, do not fret? Oh, well, he just said that. Well, no, it wasn't me that said it. God said it. See? Incline your ear to my sayings. You know, that keeps a lot of people from getting healed. They just keep a fretting. Do not fret or have any anxiety. Any. That means none at all. Amen. Little, big, or middle-sized. I think a lot of times people know it would be awful, you know, to worry about something big, but I can worry about something little and won't hurt. Amen. No, any anxiety. Any anxiety. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. It seems to me that the Word of God, incline your ear to my saying. You know, this would get a lot of people healed just practicing this verse. I know I've seen them get healed on it. See, we haven't really digressed from a subject. No. You know, I've had more than one doctor tell me, actually said worry has killed more people than any other one thing. More people in the hospital than sick and in the grave, their bodies in the grave because of worry than any other one thing. And in the insane asylum. Well, that's what being anxious is. Overly anxious is worrying. See? Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Amen.
Amen.
Well, what are you going to do then if you can't worry? You'll do what the Bible said to do. But, see the verse? In a few things. No. Well, the small things. Well, the big things. We'll take care of the small thing, let him handle the big ones. No. In everything.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everything. What does that mean? Everything, all things. In everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Now notice, with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. A lot of folks missed it, left the thanksgiving part out. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So, from then on, I never prayed about that anymore. For the rest of 43, 44, 45, 46, I never prayed about that anymore. I just, every time I thought about it, I gave thanks. Thank God for the revival. Thank God for the manifestation of these things. Hallelujah. Let's look further. Remember, our thought is incline, as that 20th verse of Proverbs 4 said, "My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." Hallelujah. So that's what we're doing. We're just simply inclining our ears to what God said, to God's sayings. Let's look into the 6th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Beginning with the very first verse, "That in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministrations. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men, number 1, of honest report, number 2, full of the Holy Ghost, and number 3, wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost." And then it went on to list the names of 7 men. Now then, skip down to the 8th verse. I said, remember our last statement there, "And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost." And Stephen, full of faith and power. See, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're full of power. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Now, he does not state what these wonders and miracles were. Miracles can be over in another area. Like turning the water into wine and a number of other things. But I'm sure of this one thing, that they were also in the area of these wonders and miracles, that there were healings. Just lumps them all together and list them for you. That folks were healed. Now, it's interesting to notice this, that all 7 of these men were full of the Holy Ghost. See, we used to think if you're full of the Holy Ghost, it'll just sort of automatically happen, but it won't. All 7 of them was full of the Holy Ghost because they said, "Look ye out 7 men, number 1, of honest report." So all 7 of them must have had an honest report. "Number 2, full of the Holy Ghost. And number 3, wisdom." So all 7 of them was full of the Holy Ghost. Now, you don't read where all 7 of them full of the Holy Ghost were, any rest of them. Now, a little later on, now we'll read about a little later on, God did make an evangelist out of Philip. So all 7 of them was full of the Holy Ghost. But you don't have any record. See, we have to go by the record. You go out beyond the Word of God to say it in different. Stephen seems to be the only one that these signs and wonders and miracles were wrought by. And he gives you the secret. He wasn't only full of the Holy Ghost. See, now that's right and good to be full of the Holy Ghost. But he's also full of something else. Praise God, he's full of faith. Amen. Now, like I tell the story sometimes and use it in different, whichever direction you're coming from preaching, you use it as an illustration, that Dr. John Lake talked about, his daddy, you know, they lived out in the country, and he's a farmer, all right, but he was interested, that's the reason Lake was interested in things like that, and his daddy had a sort of a makeshift lab in their barn, and he and a neighbor man, you know, would work there in that lab, And so they were going into town on a Saturday afternoon to get something else, whatever they wanted. And so he said to John Lake, he's about 10, 12 years old, time, "Don't go near that barn." Well, the kid's full of curiosity. Just as sure as you tell them don't, they're going to look to see why it was you didn't want them to look. You know, about Christmas time, if you bring some packages in, put in a closet and say to the kid, don't you go near that closet. They catch your back turned, they're going to look in that closet. Catch you gone, they're going to examine to see just what is in there. And so they hadn't hardly got out of sight till John Lee, you know, was there in the barn. And he saw this makeshift table here and these bottles and vials full of different liquids and stuff. And, well, he didn't know what they were. So he just picked up one and poured it in the other one. And he said, that's the last thing I remember. Because there was an explosion. And it blowed the whole end of the barn out. And he went sailing off out there. Could have been killed. Wonder he hadn't been injured, but it wasn't. I mean, he went sailing way off out there. Amen. With that end of the barn, it blowed out. Well, now you see that model sitting there, you know. I mean, each one of them individually just sitting there, nothing happened. Not a thing in the world. And so we'll just put it this way. Here's this bottle. And that's these. We'll just take that these seven men there. These seven deacons. All of them. All seven bottles are full of the Holy Ghost. Every one of them. They just sitting there. Waiting on tables. And doing not doing any miracle thing. But now here's one that's also faith. Hallelujah. So we'll take this other bottle and of the Holy Ghost and faith and pour them in together. And oh, brother, there's a divine explosion. Amen. It takes faith to put the power of God to work. Power doesn't just work by itself. Did you get that? So, now that's one place where Pentecostal folks missed it. They used to think if you got the power, well, it'll just happen. And if it didn't happen, it's because we didn't have the power. It wasn't because we didn't have the power, because we did have the power, because of the lack of faith. Amen. But you get the two mixed together, and things are going to happen. Praise God. Faith and power. Amen. And so, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now then, we do turn right on over to the 8th chapter of the Acts, and that's the next manifestation, or our next portion of scripture that we have in the Acts of the Apostles. We'll examine concerning this. The 8th chapter of Acts, and we begin reading with the 5th verse. Then Philip. Now Philip was one of these fellows back there that was originally, we call them deacons. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many, not all of them, but many, taken with palsies and lame, many that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in the city. Well, now, if you'll turn over to the 21st chapter of Acts, you'll notice that Luke, who is the writer of the Acts, was with Paul and his company in their journeys. And he said in the 8th verse, And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven. One of those seven back there, and abode with him. So now God made an evangelist out of Philip. You know, a healing ministry ought to go along with the evangelist ministry. Amen. And you can see that here. And this, again, no doubt was a manifestation of gifts of healings in some form. In some operation, being made manifest through Philip. Now, it's interesting to note this while we're here. And that is that the healings that took place were only in one category. Many unclean spirits, not all of them, but many of them came out crying a loud voice. Many that were taken with palsies were healed, and that were lame were healed. The healings were seen to be here. Because that seemed to be the only, you understand anybody could be healed. Of course, you understand they didn't have a New Testament then. And they couldn't read along that line. Nothing in the Old Testament says anything about it. But we read as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and talked about the nine manifestation, gifts or manifestations of the Holy Ghost. And one of them is gifts of healings. Both gifts and healings are in the plural in the Greek. Well, for to one is given the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, he said. See, given the manifestation. To another, special faith. Given the manifestation of special faith. Not that he give you special faith, from then on you have special faith. Because it don't work that way. And given the manifestation of working of miracles. Or given the manifestation of gifts of healings. But he might, you see, there are a variety of gifts. It's plural. Because there are more than one disease. And so one person, they may be manifested through them. Now, you understand, with the knowledge that we have today, we know, of course, that all believers have a right to lay hands on people in the name of Jesus, expecting to be healed. Because he said in the 16th chapter of Luke, or Mark's Gospel, these signs follow and believe, they lay hands on the sick. We know that in the church, that if they're sick, they can call for the elders of the church, and any in the sick could expect, the church could expect to be healed through anointing with oil. We know that there in that same fifth chapter of James, that the Spirit of God said through the Apostle James, talking to Laman, everybody, pray ye one for another that you may be healed. And that folk get healed through prayer. Praise God. Amen. But we also know that there are gifts of healing, manifestations. The healings are manifested through individual vessels as the Spirit wills. And sometimes may be only one gift. I noticed that. I never could figure it out back there. It's more recent time that I can't, you know, when I say more recent time, I mean back in the days of the voice of healing from 47 through 58. And we'd have a healing convention every year. And we would talk among ourselves. Now, here's one evangelist. He had great success in ministering to people that were deaf and dumb. Very seldom would they fail to get healed. In other words, it'd read like this, and calling his name instead of Philip. Call his name. See, he went down to this city and preached, and people gave heed unto him. Both hearing and seeing the miracles he did for many that were deaf and dumb. See, it just says many that had the palsy, not all of them. Many that deaf and dumb were healed. And he just, but he said, you know, we were just talking about something strange. He said, I don't remember one single blind person. Now, we've had some people that were maybe blind in one eye. Or difficulty for them to see that we're healed. But I never have had a totally blind person healed under my ministry. See? Well, you see, he could pray for any of them in faith, you see, and lay hands on them because the Bible teaches that, see? But in other words, that was a gift flowing through him. That's the reason he could get the deaf and dumb healed, most of them, many of them healed. Now, well, another fellow spoke up, and he said, you know, I never have. I can't remember one single deaf and dumb people that were ever healed under my ministry. Now, he said, I've had people that was deaf in one ear, that one ear was healed. But he mean totally deaf and dumb people, see. Well, deaf in one ear that's been healed. Or people that's real hard of hearing, couldn't hear, you know, had to have a hearing aid, were healed. But I mean just deaf and dumb. I never have had one of them. But nearly every blind person I lay hands on gets healed. See? Just great success, see? In other words, you could read about him, that Jeff went down to such and such a city, and many, not all of them, but many that were blind were healed. And the people of one accord gave, amen? Hallelujah. And as we checked that out, we found out that different ones of us had, because see, I don't think any of us had all the gifts of healings working through us. But some would have one gift, some would have another, some would have others. Now, I didn't understand why it happened, just knew it was God. Couldn't figure it out back there then from 47 to, there to begin with. Then, over in the early 50s, and this really started me studying. In fact, I studied on it for a little bit and couldn't find the answer back there in the late 40s and early 50s. But then I heard F.F. Bosworth, and this really ticked me off, and I really got studying it. I heard F.F. Bosworth, you know, he's the author of Christ the Healer. And Bosworth said, I don't know why, I can't tell you why. But he said, just anybody that has anything wrong with the ears, I get them healed. I mean, deaf and dumb, very seldom ever will fail. And I mean, people that had operations, I mean, the eardrum been removed, would get a new eardrum. Just very rare thing for him not to. He said, I can't tell you, I just know. Well, it's because, you see, God had given him a special ministry along that line. See, one of the gifts of healing, of healings, one of them, was working through him. Now, he could pray in faith for anybody and get him healed. See, there's a difference. There's a difference. And so when he said that, then that really started me to thinking. Well, now I wonder why. I notice I do the same thing. In my own ministry, we pray for everybody to get people healed of various things. And by teaching the word, of course, you get people healed of anything. But then we're talking about special manifestation. And I studied on it. It took me really several years before I ever found my answer. But I finally saw it. I finally got it. I finally found it. And thank God for the word. Hallelujah. Amen. So then, thank God for manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, while we're on that, let's see something else here. Remember their diversities. Incline your ear to my sayings. And then their diversities of operations. Now, here in the 19th chapter of Acts, the 11th and 12th verses, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now then, the Lord, when he appeared to me in that first vision in Rockwall, Texas, in a tent meeting, and when Jesus laid the finger of his right hand upon each one of my hands, and they begin to burn like it's holding a coal of fire in it. Now, that's a peculiar thing, but I had no manifestation of that anointing till I mentioned it. The minute I mentioned it, the palms of my hands started burning. I don't mean just a warm glow. I mean burning. You just want to rub them, try to get a little relief. And that agrees with what he said. But anyway, he mentioned this verse in connection to that. After he had laid the finger of his right hand upon each one of my hands, then he said, kneel down before me. And I knelt before me, laid his hand on my head, and he said, I've called thee. Now, it didn't mean he'd call me then, because he had been talking to me before in that same vision, said, I called you before you was born. And then he said, I anointed you. It didn't mean he anointed me then. I'd been anointed to preach all the time. But he said, this part was what's right now. And have given unto thee a special anointing to minister to the sick. And then he said, stand upright on your feet. So when I stood up, well, then he said, you understand this isn't the only way to minister to the sick? And I said, sure, I understand that. And we talked for 45 minutes or so about different ways and methods, or operations, you might say. And he said, however, this will not work. In other words, it won't be active unless you tell the people. Now, that's the reason I was going right along there. Never had any tangible manifestation. But the minute I mentioned that, then the palms of my hands started burning. See, he said it'll not work. It won't be activated. There'll be no action, in other words, of that power unless you tell the people exactly what I've told you. Tell them that you saw me. Tell them I appeared to you. Tell them I spoke to you. Tell them I laid the finger in my right hand palm each one of your hand. Now, he'd already stated this isn't the only way, which, of course, I knew wasn't. But he said, tell them that I told you to tell them that the anointing is in your hands. And then almost a little mischievous grin like came on his face. He said, not in your head. The anointing's not in your head. I didn't tell you to lay your head on anybody. And then almost like an afterthought, another little mischievous grin almost came on his face. And he said, not in your feet. The anointing's not in your feet. I didn't tell you to lay your feet on anybody. It's in your hands. Now then, he gave me this scripture here about Paul. Said, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now then, he said to me, if I wanted to do anything special by your hands, I didn't have to get the church together and have them to vote on it to see whether I could or not. I'm the head of the church. Thank God he is the head of the church. And he said, I didn't have to have the church to get a committee together and to elect a committee and have them to come, you know, and talk to me to see just exactly what I want to do and what I can do and what I can't do, because I'm the head authority. Amen. And he is. He is. Praise God. Now then, here's something else that I want you to see now about ministering with this manifestation or operation, which is only one. He said, it'll not work. Let's go back to that now. It'll not work. In other words, it won't be active. You think of somebody working, you think of them being active, don't you? In other words, there'll be no action. You think about people working, you think about action. Be no action of that power unless you tell the people exactly what I've told you. Then he said, you tell them that I told you to tell them that if they'll believe, you're anointed, and then will receive that anointing. Then, he said, that power, he called it anointing every time, this time he called it power, that power will flow from your hands into their body and drive out their sickness or their disease or effect a healing or a cure in them. You see, we have scripture precedent to illustrate what he said. Now, for instance, in the healing of the woman with the issue of blood, as that is recorded both by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark goes in a little bit more detail about it. Mark, the 5th chapter, begin to read the 25th verse. There's a certain woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, who had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all of her living, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she is healed of that plague. And immediately, Jesus, knowing in him, within himself, King James said that virtue, the Greek is dynamin, D-Y-N-A-M-I-N. The words translated power throughout the New Testament. Knowing immediately in himself that power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched me? And his disciples said, the multitude thronged thee and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And now 34th verse. And he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Hallelujah. Now, remember Acts 10:38? Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So he's anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. What kind of power? Well, it said power went out of him, healed her, so it was healing power. Amen? Now, and here's this multitude following him, because he'd come back across the little sea of Galilee from the country of Gadarenes, where that maniac or that madman of Gadara was delivered. And there one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, met him and said, my little daughter lieth home sick at the point of death. Come and lay thy hand on her that she may be healed. And he was on his way to his house. And this multitude surrounded him, evidently, because the scripture said, the disciples said, the multitude thronged thee and sayest thou, who touched me? And so he potentially, here's what I want you to see. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Well, potentially, the anointing is there, but it's not always in action. Now, just like this, any office that God calls one to, God anoints them to fill that office. Now, for instance, the pastor. He's anointed by the Holy Ghost to stand in that office, and that pastor should not only be anointed to minister to people on a one-to-one basis, so that's where a lot of his ministry is, but he's the shepherd of the sheep, the overseer of the flock, but he's also a preacher and a teacher. He's also, that goes along with his pastoral office, to feed, see, the church of God, of which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. And so God anoints him to teach the word, to feed them on the word, or to preach the word. But that anointing's not in manifestation all the time. It's potentially there, because if it was, he'd start preaching, just preach till he died. But no, what he does, he prays and studies and prepares himself and gets up, starts out in faith, the anointing comes. Glory to God. Now, the anointing works the same whether whatever office it is. And whether you're ministering healing or what. The potential's there all the time, but it's not always in manifestation all the time. It wasn't with Jesus. That's a reason again. Did you ever notice? Again and again, Jesus would go apart to pray, sometimes spend the whole night in prayer. Well, I'll tell you, if he needed to pray, how much more do we? Amen. Are you listening? And so, you see, he's going along to Jairus' house. He's anointed, and the anointing of the healing power is on him and in him and there, but it's not manifestation. If it was, it'd be flowing out to everybody in the crowd that was sick, just going out this way and that way and the other way. But you see, it's faith that activates that power. And that's the reason Jesus said to me, that will not work. This anointing will not work unless you tell the people. Because, see, they couldn't believe it unless they were told. It'll not work unless you tell the people exactly what I've told you. And then you tell them, which I've already told you, tell them that I told you to tell them if they'll believe that. That is, believe that you're anointed and will receive that anointing. Now, see, it's one thing for you to believe that I have a pocket knife. Now, you believe I have one now because you see it, don't you? But it's another thing for you to receive that. In fact, you ain't going to receive because I'm not going to give it to you. But you believe I have one, don't you? See? Same thing's true over in the spirit realm. You believe with your spirit what the Holy Ghost said or what God said or what the Word says. In your heart, you believe that. But yet, on the other hand, you won't receive it. You won't have it until you receive it. And so, if they will believe it, that is, believe you're anointed, and then they will receive the anointing. Then that power will flow from your hands into their body and will drive out their sickness or their disease or will effect a healing or a cure in them. Hallelujah. So usually once a week, we pray other times as the Lord leads us, but we at least one time a week have a special laying on a hand service. And I usually, not always now, but most of the time, I'll begin by laying hands on folks and say, I lay my hands on you by the direction of the head of the church. Now you just stop and analyze that a little bit. We're not doing that, you see. We know, of course, that Jesus himself said to all of us, every believer, here in Mark 16:18, one of the signs that follow believers was they'll lay hands on. But then Jesus appeared to me in the vision, you see, and said, I've given you a special anointing, see. So I say, I lay hands on you by the direction, because he directed me specifically. He directed all of us to do it generally. But specifically, you see. And so I say, I lay hands on you by the direction of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in obedience to the law, they're spiritual laws just like they're natural laws. Laws in the natural that govern the operation of electricity, for instance. They're laws in the spiritual realm that govern the operation of God's power. I lay hands on you by the direction of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in obedience to the law of contact and transmission. The contact of my hand transmits God's healing power unto your body to undo that which Satan has wrought and to effect a healing and a cure in you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And then when I'm conscious that that healing power went into you, I'll say, there it is. Now, he didn't tell me, he told me how I would know. He didn't tell me that you wouldn't feel anything. Sometimes folks do, sometimes they don't. I've had people stand right there with terminal diseases. Never felt a thing, but was completely healed. Went right back to the same specialist. I mean, they'd been under the treatment for months and even years, and they couldn't find a trace of it. It all disappeared. It all disappeared. Then again, there is a manifestation of his power. Amen. But no matter what happens, that's where you start believing because you've got to receive it. That I receive my healing. Amen. Now then another thing is that this anointing will do only just what he said. Heal people of sickness and disease. Now, thank God, laying on of hands gives an opportunity for other gifts of the Spirit to operate sometimes. Are you listening? Because sometimes, folks, you've got some part of your body missing. Well, you don't need healing. You need that part to be restored. And to take a miracle to do that. Sometimes there's a combination of both miracles, working of miracles, and healing that people need. Are you listening to me? So we need to realize that and need to understand why some things doesn't work. Because this only works in the area of healing. Amen.